For a week, you've been asking me why there are black covers over the windows. You like them? Hey, you're not distracted by what's going on outside, are you? Well, you're going to find out exactly what they're for in relationship to this lesson as well. Let's pray together. Dear God and Father, thank you for who we are. Father, we are your representatives in this world. It brings a tremendous responsibility with the tremendous privilege and honor. And Father, as we talk about it tonight, may we do everything that we can to live up to that calling and let our lights shine in this world. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. This is a Franklin light. It is so named because they were inspired by Benjamin Franklin long before Edison invented the durable light bulb and people began to put up the electric light bulb outside. The people of Philadelphia, though, needed some convincing. Benjamin Franklin was trying to persuade them to buy into the idea of street lighting. Not a new concept, it was going on in Europe, but his design, like the one you saw in the picture with the four panes of glass surrounding the candle, was new. But they were reluctant. And so what Franklin did was he started with his own home. He put up a really beautiful lantern outside his house every day. He cleaned the glass, he polished it, he kept it shiny, he kept it lit every night. And for that reason, his house stood out from the dark homes on his street. And it did not take long before people began to gravitate to his light. They began to use the warm glow to navigate the street. They would use the light to gather underneath if they needed to speak with someone who was out after dark like they were. And as they saw these benefits, they began to put them outside their homes as well. And for that reason, street lights, as we know them, were introduced to America. And all over the city of Philadelphia, there are Franklin lights. They all carry a little plaque that says this is a Franklin light and says when it was put up at that particular place. Spiritually speaking, people all over our world, all over our community, and really, as Larry was saying in his prayer, that's our first focus. If we take the concept of Acts chapter 1, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world, before we're going to reach China, we must first be able to reach Coxie with the gospel. They're stumbling in the darkness. And the thing is, John chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, they're like the people of Philadelphia in the days of Benjamin Franklin. They're content to live in the darkness. They are content to live in the spiritual dark. They're not overly concerned with lighting up their world. And so they're going to take some convincing. Our world has no idea just how dark it really is until they see the light. And so we're going to tonight discuss the idea of taking a page from Benjamin Franklin's book. The idea of lighting our lights first and drawing people to the light before we go out there and try to convince them to turn their lights on themselves. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And so the good news is, as we talk about this idea of being lights in our world, we're not responsible for the ability to produce the light. The light source is the Son of God. He's going to provide the light source. We, like the moon, are called to reflect the light. We're called to be channels through which He lights the world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So some important principles for us to understand in relationship to Jesus being the light, us being the many lights, us being the means through which that light is reflected. Number one, the longer we let our light shine, the more we will stand out. The more that we put ourselves out there before the world, the more the world will notice that we're different. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Something very interesting has happened to the apostles. They have no formal education. They've never been to rabbi school. They've never been to missionary training school. And yet it says in Matthew chapter, or Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they observed the confidence of Peter and John, understood that they were uneducated, untrained, and yet they're marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. The longer the apostles are on the scene, the more the people saw Jesus in them, the more their lights shone out in the darkness. It became more and more evident who they were, what they stood for. The second thing I want you to understand in this concept tonight is it's all about the light. It's not about the lantern. It is not about me. Jesus is the light. I'm just the means of sharing the light. Yes, I have a role. Yes, it's very important. But all of the direction goes back to Him. All of the glory goes back to Him. He's the one that keeps people from stumbling in the dark. What is it He just said? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and pat you on the back. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. My job is to draw people to the light, not to me. It's not about me. In a sense, I'm stepping out of the way so they can see the light in me. Another concept I want you to see is very similar to what we just mentioned with Benjamin Franklin. If I let my light shine, it's easier for others to join in. One person willing to finally stand up and shine into the darkness. One person willing to stand up and speak out, be different than everybody else. Another thing I want you to understand is if I forget to hang my light in a certain situation, I can cause other people to stumble. What if a situation comes along and I'm interacting with a group of people and I choose not to let my light shine? I choose to cover it up. I choose to blow it out. I choose to hide it for a moment and let something non-Christian show. Someone's liable to trip over me in the dark. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. Paul recounts an incident where that happened. Where Peter, the rock, where Peter, the one that the apostles look to as the leader, the early church looks to him as the leader. It says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face. He stood condemned. Prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he put his light out. He didn't hang his lantern. He didn't clean the glass. He withdrew and held himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. Now watch this. And the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. When I don't hang my lamp, when I cover it, I'm encouraging other people to do the same thing. To the point that even Barnabas, you know, that guy that we hold up as a shining example of encouragement is led astray. My dad, if I dirty the glass of my lantern, my light cannot be as effective. Have you ever noticed how much difference when you clean the globe on a lantern, or you clean the light fixture, or you dust off the lampshade, how much difference that thin layer of dust actually made in diffusing the light. If you don't believe me, it probably means you haven't cleaned your light fixtures recently. Go home and look, and if there's that thin layer of dust on it, take them down and wash them in the sink and clean them up and put them back up. You no longer need a new light bulb. There was enough light, we just weren't letting it out. Same thing spiritually. If I choose not to keep my life clean, and yet I'm claiming to be the light of the world, and the people are seeing the light through the spots and through the dirt, there's no way it's as effective. Hazy headlights, dirty globes, bugs in your security light, all make a difference. Might add, if we hide the light, no one can see it. No one can benefit from it. If I'm Nicodemus, if I come to Jesus by night, if I'm a secret disciple, how much good am I doing in the world? I can make the claim between God and myself all day long. But if I never take the light out of the case, if I never turn the switch on, who's going to benefit from it? Or if I hold it down low, what's he say? He says you put it up on the stand so everybody in the house could see. If you ever notice that a coal oil lamp or kerosene lamp has a handle on it? So it's not set on the floor. It's hung up somewhere. If you're walking, you're carrying it in your hand because it provides more light. The more lights we light, the more light we give. I also want you to understand that light always beats the dark. All right, now the reason for the coverings. Guys upstairs, you know this is coming, so I want you to turn your lights out. Gene, get your lights there, please, sir. I'm going to hit that one, and we're going to make it really dark for a minute. If you have a cell phone, go ahead and pull it out, because I will call on you in just a second. Go ahead, Brother Gene. Gee whiz. Ain't I brilliant? Wow, that's fairly dark, minus the glow. I thought that thing would go black when I turned it off. But now watch this. Can you see that? Of course you can. What? Light cannot be beat by the dark. The light will always show no matter how black it is. But I also want you to notice something else. How far does my light extend? It's a single light. It's not going very far. I can barely see David. I wouldn't be able to see John if his computer wasn't glowing just a little bit, or his mouse or something there. Now watch this. My light's still lit, but I hid it under the peck measure. Is it doing you any good? No, not at all. Now then, somebody with the phone in the back, turn your flashlight on. Now then, there's just two of us, and yet look how much difference it's already making. Somebody over here around Robin or Bailey, hit yours. Kayla's got hers. Preston, light it up. I want you to notice something else. Now then, as other lights come on and our circles of influence interact, we bring more and more people into the light. I can see Julian. I can see Chris. I can see Miss Linda. And if Barbara turns hers on, or she may not have hers with her, we do it on that side, Ed or somebody. The point is, the more light that we light, the more of us that turn our lights on, the bigger the influence. The more people that are exposed to the light. There goes one there and another. And if we all had one, or we all had a candle, or we all had a flashlight, and if you've got a phone, everybody's welcome to turn it on right now. look at the difference that we've made in the dark. Now we can just almost see just like normal. And our circles of influence are overlapping. And just about everybody in here is lit up in some way. You can go ahead and hit the lights again if you want to. Nothing earth-shattering. It did make you think when I covered up the windows, so it's been boiling in your mind for a week. Single candle lights up the dark, at least in some measure. Hold it down low and it doesn't light up as much. Hold it up high and it lights up more. Hide it behind the lectern and it disappears completely. As we light them and light multiplies, we end up covering the whole building. There is no greater life than the Christian life. We've been called to the greatest privilege that there is. We are children of the King. We have an inheritance. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. There is no greater light than the light of the world. Not even Satan could put out Jesus. And the best way to share that light is to live the Christian life. If I let that light shine through me so that men see the light and glorify my Father, I can light up the world. I can draw other people to the light. Now back to our illustration in the beginning. The world does not know it's in the dark. The world does not know that it needs the light. And they are not going to know if they don't see it in us. If they don't see the difference, if they don't see the value of the Christian life, if they don't see the greatest life that there is to live in us, what are we going to offer them? What are we going to... You can't go to someone who's never seen the benefit of the Christian life, that has never seen your light, and say, hey, I need you to be a light for Jesus. Because I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's for. They don't know what it's about. But when they see it in us, we have something to, quote, sell them. And when we do that, it glorifies the Father. People are drawn not to us, they're drawn to the light they see in us. And we point them towards the Father. And as it happens, as another one comes to the light, and another one turns on the light, and another one turns, guess what? We can beat the darkness all the way back into the corners. Because the light always wins, and the more light there is, the less dark there is. Benjamin Franklin had a tremendous idea, and nobody wanted it. So instead of kicking his feet and stamping and throwing a fit and berating his neighbors as to their stubbornness, he said, I'm going to light my light. And sooner or later, the world's going to come to that light. See, we can stand on a street corner all day long and beat our gums. We can rant and rave and tell the world how wrong it is. And for the most part, the world could not care any less that it's in the dark. But if we'll light our lights and shine out in the darkness and make a difference, they'll see our good works and they'll glorify our Father. Are you a light? Is your globe clean? Are you held high? Are you up on the city wall? Are you sitting on top of the hill? Are you on the lampstand? Or is your globe dirty or hidden or gone out? Challenge you this week to be the light of the world for somebody in some way and make a difference in this world as we stand and sing.